Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, the special edition. I'm Dan Hurst. And today we have a special guest that this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be interesting because when Mark gets together with guys like this, there are always some sparks. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest.
I wish you hadn't put it that way, Hurst. There's enough controversy with the two of us without
exactly. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our guest.
All right.
He started he got his degree in science and a master of science. Why science? We don't know, because he ended up in communications. But after he got his degree and all, then he went and became a middle school teacher, which basically qualifies him to deal with us and qualifies him to be a pastor. And then as he climbed through the ranks, he eventually ended up working with Lifeway. He was with Lifeway as in communications. He served as director of strategic initiatives for Lifeway. Our boss, by the way, Kevin Zeld, the president of the North American Mission Board, said this about him. He loves Southern Baptists and has a passion to see us pursue excellence in all we do as a faith family. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us a man who is currently serving as the interim president of the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee. Mark, would you please welcome Jonathan Howe?
Wow. I didn't know you did all that, Jonathan.
Well, I didn't either.
I just thought you worked for WMU and then came over here. That's what I thought. So
I've had two lives, Mark.
All right. Well, actually, as we tape this, you are in the waning moments of your presidency, right?
Yes, interim presidency. Yes,
the interim presidency. Just the waning seconds, actually, as you walk out the door, and you'll be, when this airs, if the Lord doesn't return, and if He does, it'll air anyway. We just won't hear it. But when this airs, you'll be back to your title will be what?
Back to Vice President for Communications.
There you go. All right. Well, Jonathan and I got to know each other. You tell the story, Jonathan. You're the guest. When we say this was a special edition, what that means is every other Friday we bring on a guest, and you're part of that elite group. It's a very select group that whoever's available that will come on. That's sort of the – then do they have a pulse? But anyway, give us some idea of kind of our background, how we met, how you met with me.
Usually whenever I'm referred to as an elite, it's a slur, but this is good. This is good. I like this. So, yeah. So, Wild Thing, I don't remember what year did your book come out, Revitalize?
Back in the 80s, I think.
No, not that book.
It was 2016, I think. 16 or 17.
So, about 2016, I guess it was. Your book comes out with B&H. And when I was at Lifeway, I worked for Dr. Rayner, and every B&H book that we put out at Lifeway came through my desk. And I saw it and I was like, Reclaiming Glory. Huh. Let's check this out. So I read it and fell in love with it. Like read it in like 2 days. Like read the whole book in 2 days. I don't know if that says something about my reading or your writing, but read it in 2 days. And then I was like, we've got to get this guy on a podcast. So I get in touch with you. We don't know each other from Adam. Get in touch with you. And you come on SBC this week, and I was blown away. We had a great conversation. You did us a favor coming on SBC this week, talking about everything. And I went to Dr. Rayner and said, hey, you got to get this guy on the podcast. Like, we've got to have – this is good stuff. And he takes the book. He reads it. He loves it. We have you on, and look at us now.
It's all because of you. That's
right.
No,
I don't know about that. You were transitioning – I think you were, like, transitioning into the role at North American Mission Board. I mean,
I
it was.
Was
like in its infancy.
I mean,
maybe we just threw gas on what was going to become a flame anyway, but like I fell in love with you and the book, and it was, next thing you know, here we are. So,
well, and when we were doing those podcasts with Rayner initially, you and me and Rayner, we did them live. I'd come down to Nashville. We'd do them live. And Rayner being the incredibly warm and people person that he is, when it was lunchtime, he would just go sit in his office and you and I go eat lunch together.
Yeah, we'd go hang out and have fun.
So we got to know each other really well over those lunches, and we developed a deep friendship, and I think much of Jonathan in a lot of ways, and he's a very talented individual, and Southern Baptists are extremely blessed to have him. So, man, it's good to have you on this little gig of a hobby podcast we have here called Revitalize and Replant. We're the sequel to the original, I think. Yeah. But anyway, we enjoy it. We do.
Yep.
For sure. You had some broadcasting experience, didn't you? In some
a
sort of
bit.
Media experience.
Yeah, sports administration. When I worked in sports, I did some radio and stuff like that. So did a lot of podcast and whatnot in the previous life, and then came into this, and built up a few podcasts here and there. I've done probably 1,100-1,200 podcasts total.
Really?
You start counting them all up, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I think we've done 128, but then who's counting? Since I left Rainer. All right, real quick questions. Number one, the SBC is coming up. Give us all the inside scoop on what takes place to put together a meeting like the Southern Baptist Convention. Have you been working on it for a couple of weeks now?
Yeah, just a few days. we're recording this. I just got back late last night from Indianapolis in our final basically prep session up there in the city. So the biggest piece I think that people don't really maybe realize, understand, know about what goes on at the annual meeting is just the number of people it takes to pull it off from a volunteer standpoint. We're talking 700 or so roles volunteer that are like spots that we need to make things happen for 4 days. And I mean, that's the incredible work to fill those spots that is done by local churches in the area. So we have a thing every year, local encouragement team. They encourage people to be a part, to volunteer, to whatever. And our team in Indianapolis has done a phenomenal job. I mean, it takes months and months of trying to recruit volunteers from different local churches. And it's a little more difficult in places like Indiana where you've only got 390 churches. You know, you've only got 95 churches in the metropolitan area. You go to a place like Dallas where we're going to be next year. I mean, you could hit a 9-iron and hit 95 churches from the convention center, you know? So it's a lot more concentration of Southern Baptists in some places we go than maybe in Indianapolis or like a Salt Lake coming up.
So people are always asking, why don't you come to my city?
Cause your city's not big enough.
City, or why don't you come to where we are? Why do you keep going? Like what it is pretty much you have a slate of Southern cities more or less.
Yeah.
And then about every fourth year we go outside the South. Is that kind of it?
Pretty much.
Oversimplifying it.
And some people might say, Indiana's outside of the South. Well, yeah, but it's also easy to get to from the South. I mean, it's easily drivable from Nashville or Kentucky or South Carolina, Virginia, whatever you want to, even Northern Alabama. It's only like 5 to 6 hours from Northern Alabama. So a lot of Southern Baptists in a 5 to 6 hour driving window of, Indianapolis. But you're right. I mean, we get this all the time about why not come to my town? Why not be in my city? And it's funny you'd ask this question because I actually put together something a couple days ago for like this reason, like the list of cities that are available to us. There are about 7 cities that we know work, that we know fit the size that we are. The problem is the convention's grown. You know, a decade ago, 2014, we were in Baltimore, like 5,000 people. Right. 2015 in Columbus, about 5,000. Like in 17, we had, I think, barely 5,000 in Phoenix or maybe right under 5,000. So now, I mean, we're looking at 11,000 or so this year. This is messenger count. Total attendance, probably around 15,000 to 17,000 in Indianapolis. Last time we were in Indianapolis, messenger count was about 8,000. So we've grown by about 50% just in 15 years because last time we were there was 2008. But there are about 7 cities that actually can hold us the size that we need for the main sessions as well as the exhibit hall, because that's grown as well. Because people see, hey, 10, 12, 15,000 Southern Baptists, we need to be there. We need to have a booth. We need to, exhibit and show what we can do and help these churches. That's the great thing about it. There are more and more people wanting to come along and help our churches with the resources they provide than ever before. And that's exciting to me because that ultimately makes our churches healthier and hopefully carries out the Great Commission more. But there are 7 cities, Dallas, Orlando, Indianapolis, New Orleans, Anaheim, Salt Lake City, and Houston that have the space right now to host an annual meeting that we can get the dates to. Now, Nashville and Atlanta also big enough, good enough to host. We can't get the dates right now. We're working on that for the future, possibly. But that means either we got to move something or something in the city's got to move. And I'll tell you right now, Nashville ain't moving CMA Fest. No. That overlaps. The only reason we were able to have Nashville where we had it in 2021 is because CMA Fest was canceled because of COVID. So those two cities, that gives you nine.
Anaheim? We had a great time in Anaheim. It's big enough anymore.
Yeah, that's on the list. And it would be great to go back.
Did you list that on the list?
Yes.
I just wasn't paying attention.
It's okay. But it's one of the nine that can actually hold us the size that we need to be and everything like that.
Well, now, Anaheim was great because of the temperature. I mean, it was so the cool. Weather. Normally at the Southern Baptist Convention, we're just all dying, right?
Yes. I think Indianapolis, the temperature is going to be great too. Even if it's not in Indianapolis, you don't have to go outside. Like that's the beautiful, like it's everything is, you know, you got crosswalks and skywalks and everything. It's, you know, nobody goes outside. You have to like be intentional to go outside in Indianapolis. It's wild.
All right.
There are four cities.
That question.
Yeah, but there are
now,
four other cities.
Why are so many people coming? Is it the music that they're enjoying and the preaching? I mean, why is it double
the bluegrass at the small church banquet? Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. All right. I mean, we can't say that why they're coming is not somewhat related to the controversy du jour. Whatever that may be, you know, the controversy that is driving something, you know, people, it makes them want to come. I would love for us to get away from that. I think we all would love to get away from controversy being the thing that drives attendance. But I think there is a lot of other things that go on. People just enjoy it. I mean, it's a family reunion and there are, you know, times that you get to see people at the annual meeting that you don't get to see them the rest of the year. I mean, there are
and I've been to more than you. My first one was 1967 in Detroit. And I've been to over 50 of them since then. I will say, in my opinion, it is a younger crowd than it used to be. Would you agree with that?
Can you prove that?
Do you have the statistics to prove that?
A little bit. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at them, but I do think it is trending younger. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Back when it was, you talk about the 4,000 to 5,000, it was pretty much just a bunch of older folks, I mean, you know, for the most part. But I look around and I see a tremendous amount of young people there. And then some of the stuff that goes on even after the convention, those meetings afterward, tend to bring people who maybe normally wouldn't come. Nine Marks at Nine and some things like that. Other groups that meet, that kind of helps as well, I think, get some other people there. So anyway, hey, while we still have an audience here as we kind of hit a low spot in the energy level here, talk to me about your most recent job. Tell me about the positive, hopeful future for the executive committee. You're right there with it. I'm serious, man. I want to hear the good news.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is I'm not going to be the interim president anymore.
Well, that's the best news, I guess. That's true. Yes.
But it's funny. We actually recorded an episode of this about 8 months ago.
Yes, you and I did. It was like, a much better episode. In fact,
and then
it
like
was the best
2 weeks
episode.
Later, though.
But we can't.
Everything fell apart, and I was and you were like, "Hey, do we?" Because we had talked about stuff that, like, everything changed. Yeah. So it's, you know, having Dr. Orge come in as the executive committee president is essential, I think, to the future of the SBC. And I'm not trying to make that. I'm not trying to be, you know, hyperbolic there. We were at a point, and I think nobody would disagree with this, that the executive committee was probably at an all-time low in trust level, respect, and just desirability. And I think that with Dr. Orge coming in, that has reversed almost overnight. And he is an incredible Southern Baptist leader, a known, respected, and wise voice to Southern Baptists. And I think the executive committee's best days are ahead of it. And after everything that's gone on over the past, say, 5 years, 6 years at the executive committee, this is probably the brightest day is dawning on Monday morning. At the executive committee. So I'm excited.
I have heard nothing but just a huge, almost sigh of relief that, oh my goodness, we've got someone that we all can trust. We all can believe in. It's been a wonderful news, I think, across Southern Baptist that he took that position and grateful for him and for what he's doing there. I know we all are. As we look at beyond Indianapolis, and your job in vice president of media. What is the role of the Baptist press? People seem to have some different opinions about that. So, what's your role? Why are you there?
Well, Baptist Press.
Why do we need you? I guess. I
mean, thanks, Mark. For 78 years, Baptist Press has been the main outlet to tell of the news for and about Southern Baptists. So, how we get our message out to a watching world, and also from the inside the world, like how do we communicate what's happening to our most important constituents, and that's our fellow Southern Baptists. So it's, I think, essential. It's changed. Like Baptist Press back 78 years ago, it was basically a wire service to get entity news to the states for the state mm-hmm. papers. Then it became more of a sharing across the states information, you know, state information, national information, those kind of things. Then it became more of like a reporting mechanism and, you know, doing its own stuff. And that has kind of morphed into now it's more of a reporting and sharing of information directly to Southern Baptists. Like, I think the audience for Baptist Press has changed over 78 years, because the audience originally was the state papers, because there was no mechanism to take Baptist Press to Mark Clifton, who's a member at whatever church, you know, in right. North Kansas or whatever. So the role of Baptist Press has changed. The audience has changed, and now it's more of a, how do we use the media that we have at our disposal now with the internet, with blogging, with social media, with podcast, with video, YouTube, whatever it may be. How do we use those tools to best communicate the news to and for and about Southern Baptist? So, I mean, that's kind of our goal right now.
Talk to me about state papers. I mean, you're right. Back years ago, every state convention had a paper. Many of them were actually twice a month, I think, and certainly monthly.
Weekly.
A lot were twice a month. Some were weekly, actually. Yeah. Where are we now in terms of actual printed Baptist papers that get mailed or distributed to churches? Do you know how many states, off the top of your head, have those?
Well, it's far fewer than it used to be. You know, every state had at least one. As far as like weekly printed, I don't know if there's still a weekly printed state Baptist paper. Even the last one that was kind of holding on doing weekly stuff, the Alabama Baptist, one of the oldest out there.
Right.
It is now twice a week or twice a month, biweekly. So every other week.
Okay.
And I think that was the last one that was weekly. So there are probably, I don't know the number off the top of my head, because there's been a lot of change in the 8 months where I've been interim president and not really focused on the communication.
Yeah, you really, as interim president, you really couldn't do the...
Yeah, I had a whole different job. Like, I took a whole different job. I stepped away from the comm stuff. But there's actually been some change in that, on those, in that time frame. You still have printed versions, but you still, Mark, you still have printed...
Our information has changed so drastically in the last 20 years. I mean, it's unbelievable, because now we get it from Twitter and from Facebook and from Instagram and all that kind of stuff, and from various podcasts, you know, like this one and others. So I think the idea of information being so widely available, and how can we say this, so varied in its opinion, has created a unique environment for information among Southern Baptists. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think a lot of the Baptist papers have morphed from being their own independent things that were independently funded or funded through the state convention, but independent in their work, into more of state convention mouthpieces. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that like take the Southern Baptist Texan, for example. It used to be a weekly paper. Now it's a monthly magazine featuring and, you know, highlighting the work that God's doing in Southern and the SBTC. A lot of places have done this. South Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia with a Proclaimer. I mean, like, different places have just moved either to an all online format or a monthly magazine format that is more concentrated on telling the story of what's going on in the state rather than trying to report on national or, you know, whatever things across the state.
Yeah, it has changed, but then it always changes. I mean, we've always, everything evolves and changes and sometimes for the better and sometimes not for the better. So, Hey, real quick. So when you go back to being the vice president of media, does that mean you can get like media passes to all of the Predators games? Because you are media, actually. Have you ever tried to do that?
No, not for that. We do have media access for the Super Bowl, for the BCS, you know, whatever, the college football playoff, the Olympics. Like, we have the ability to do that based on our coverage and based on what we do in our history. For like local sports teams, that's never going to work. They make me buy my season tickets. So, and I'm happy to do so because I love it. It's one of the most
fun wondered. Things. I wondered. So Hurst, at least he was the stadium announcer at Royal Stadiums for a couple of decades.
Well, at least my team made the hockey playoffs this year, Mark. You know, Pittsburgh.
Hey,
you know, got to watch it from the house.
Hey, I know my wife's team. They're the Bruins, so they're doing well at this point. As we are putting this down to tape, I suppose. But
that's right.
Yeah, I know.
Good series going on with Florida too. By the way,
I don't like Florida. Sorry. I don't think hockey belongs in Florida. But
you're
just
mad
me.
That Tkachuk dropped Pastrnak the other night.
Like I know,
ragdoll.
Very much so. Anyway, now that we've lost the rest of our audience, and it's just your mom and my wife listening, and she quit a while ago, so we're out of
I started
that.
Talking slander about the Bruins, and she's out.
That's true. Absolutely. You like what you do, buddy? Do you like working for Southern Baptist? Look, you've done a lot of things. You have been, as we said, a middle school teacher. You work for the WMU, right?
Yeah.
You worked for them for a while. Talk to me about WMU. We haven't talked about WMU in probably three podcasts. No. I don't think we've ever talked about WMU on this podcast. And I love them. I mean, they support the coffee program. They support Annie and Lottie. Talk to me about WMU. What was your time like there, and what's their future? You got any thoughts on the Woman's Missionary Union?
I really appreciate the heart behind everything those ladies do. I enjoyed my time there. It allowed me to make connections. I wouldn't be where I am today without WMU. I'll just be straightforward on that. I was able to make connections and just get experience there that I would have not gotten anywhere else. And it was good.
What did you do there? Did you go get coffee for the ladies and stuff like that?
No, I did trade books. I worked in marketing the trade books. So, you know, Bible studies, books, kind of like their version of B&H. It was called New Hope Publishers, and worked on that. And, you know, there's a lot of authors and Southern Baptist leaders that I worked with when I was there, including, you know, Rhonda Kelly, the late Rhonda Kelly. It was bittersweet because I went to her funeral about a month and a half ago and got to, you know, represent the executive committee at that. And she was one of the first people I met when I went to WMU as an author.
Do you remember, I'm sure you do, Jennifer Kennedy Dean?
Oh, yes, absolutely. She was one of the kindest people. And I was heartbroken when I got the news that she had passed away a few years back. And
let me tell you about Jennifer Kennedy Dean, all right? When I went to Warner Road Baptist Church in 2005, they had left the Southern Baptist Convention 20 years prior. And they were just not a part of this SBC life at all. And they were down to 18 elderly people. And a group of elderly ladies came to see me. And said, I was associational director of missions. And they said, look, our church is, we can't afford anything. We're about to close. We used to be Southern Baptist. Would you come visit with us? And so I went and visited with them. And I said, look, I'd be glad to come and see what God would do among us. But you'll have to come back into the Southern Baptist Convention. You'll have to adopt the Baptist Faith, the Message 2000. You have to come into the Missouri Baptist Convention and the Blue River Association. And Warnell had left all of those quite publicly about 20 years prior, and it got real quiet. And a sweet elderly lady who was had rheumatoid arthritis and couldn't walk very well. Her husband was a former judge, and he was homebound. He couldn't come to church at all. She just spoke up, and because I don't think they were going to do it. I'll be frank about it. It was a bridge too far for some of them after all those years of not being Southern Baptist. And she just said, look, we've been angry at Southern Baptist for 20 years, and look where it's gotten us. And she said, we were founded as a Southern Baptist. She said, I think we can trust this young man. She thought I was young. And she said, my husband and I, we think we should do this. Well, when she spoke, everybody listened. And that was Jennifer's mother. And she's the one that really opened the door for me to get to Warner. It would never have happened without her. So it's a neat story. And later on, you know, she was so excited that happened, Jennifer was, and for our church. She came and did some teaching there for us, and we just had a great relationship, you know, with her. And so, yeah, it's just an interesting connection between Warner Road and Jennifer Kennedy Dean and how God works those things out. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's amazing. And she was an amazing lady. And Little Praying Life, I don't know how many copies that thing ever sold, because we could not keep them in print. Like, it sold all the time.
Yeah. So you were there. What did you teach in middle school? Did you teach science or just anything?
It was a Christian school, and I taught everything. It was just a small little class. And no, I mean, it was a small Christian school, and I taught like everything under the sun.
So okay.
I just had sixth and seventh graders, and I just cranked
it out. Where'd you get your undergraduate?
Southern Miss.
All right. Well, I think. Oh, tell me about your family real quick. People, tell me about your kids and what they're doing and how they are.
I've got a high school sophomore about to be a junior, and then I've got one in college at California Baptist University, Lance Up. Which is, I think, one of the hidden gems of Southern Baptist life. And I do everything I can to shed light on how great it is out there. It's a phenomenal school. And the weather, like you mentioned, the weather in Anaheim, the weather in Riverside is just always glorious. My son absolutely loves it out there, both for the weather and for the academics and just the environment there. He loves California Baptist University. I cannot say good enough things about that school.
I agree with you. I don't think people realize. Look up California Baptist. There's a lot of great things going on there. That's a really great school.
Mm-hmm. 12,000 students. I mean, it's the largest Southern Baptist school that we have, the true Southern Baptist school. I'm not going to count Liberty. I'm not going to count Baylor.
Right.
But it's the largest true Southern Baptist school that we have that's like actually affiliated with us still. Yeah. And it's phenomenal. And cannot say enough good things about that. And then I've got a fifth grader and a third grader. And I just got a text that I've got to go pick up my third grader because she's sick at school.
I'm sorry. All right. So. Well, we'll let you go. But before I let you go, I got to ask you four questions. What was the very first concert you ever went to? The live concert. Remember? What was the first live concert? Come on.
You're gonna love this.
Be honest.
The Baton Rouge Centroplex, which is now like the Raisin Cane Center or something in Baton Rouge. Carmen. Addicted to Jesus Tour. Isn't that amazing?
That is truly amazing.
That is like truly the best amazing. Southern Baptist answer.
What was the
first
car you ever owned?
First car, Mazda B2200 pickup.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All right.
Just a little, it's basically a Ford Ranger with a different tag on the front.
Just a different badge.
But that's what every teenage boy drove in like the 90s. You had a Ford Ranger or S10 or something like that. Everybody had one.
That's okay. That'll work. Okay. Number three, if you had to listen to one guy's playlist all the way across the United States on a car trip, would it be Tom Rainer or Kevin Ezell's music playlist?
I don't know what Dr. Ezell listens to. I have no idea what his taste in music is.
What about Mr. Rainer?
Well, I know what his is, and I've done that. I've listened to that playlist several times, and it's not bad. He likes his playlist a lot better than he likes mine. So
we have all listened to that playlist, no matter whether to or not.
But it's going to be the heavy on the Beatles and 60s music, and that's cool with me.
And then he's going to tell you the background to every song that he plays, for sure. Okay, lastly, if you got stuck on a desert island, you could only listen to bluegrass or southern gospel. Which would you listen to?
That's a tough one. I'd probably go bluegrass. That's tough though. That's a hard choice. In a good way.
Well, there's a little bit of crossover.
In a good way. That's a hard choice in a good way. Like you give me bluegrass like Alison Krauss, Sierra Hall, Ron Block, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, Chosen Road. I mean, give me that.
Yeah.
And then on the Southern gospel side, if it's like classic Gold City and the Cathedrals and stuff like that, I mean, man, that's a tough one.
Can we be honest here? There's nothing better than really great Southern gospel or really great bluegrass. There's nothing worse than really bad Southern gospel or really bad bluegrass.
Also true.
It's just no in between. Hey, man, I love you like a brother. I really do. I love hanging out with you and staying in touch with you. we got a special gift coming your way. One of my ventriloquist dummies.
Oh, wow.
Send him your way. You can add him to your collection. I know you're a great fan of ventriloquist dummies. I see some behind you there in your office. Like you, I like to collect them. I'm not nearly the ventriloquist you are, by the way. So if you need someone to come and do something for your royal ambassadors or your GAs or your senior adults, I've seen him do it. It's really good. He has a little character named Ronnie, and he just – Don't hesitate to ask Jonathan to come and do it. Man, he's really good. He is. So anyway, I got a new doll I'm going to send you. I think you'll like this one.
Lovely.
All right, Hirsch, take us home.
I was just thinking Jill's going to be thrilled that you're getting rid of one of your dolls. Finally. Jonathan, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We appreciate that. Great information and encouragement that as pastors and as ministers, we are all part of a Southern Baptist convention that is going places and addressing issues that will make an eternal difference. So thank you for being part of that. And thank you for listening. Thank you to the North American Mission Board for sponsoring us. And we appreciate your time and your efforts. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.